Thank you, Van. And I'll have to tell you, this morning, I asked James to switch songs and put this one in. He said, sure. So there you go. My goodness, we are so fortunate to have our band here and the ongoing marvelous music. I had the privilege of hearing Peter Meyer, who wrote that song, perform it several times. And Samantha and our band would have been a definite improvement for him, I tell you. He's good, but anyway. I had a bit of wisdom I wanted to share with you. This one I thought seemed kind of important. I saw it first thing this morning on my computer. It was a question of, why don't you iron your four-leaf clover? Well, you don't want to press your luck. It's only bad if you don't repeat it. Well, today we have had this experience of dedicating our new seats. And the inspiration for this service as we did it came from the statement of commitment that we got from Charles and Myrtle Fillmore when they were starting Unity. So Bev's going to read that for us now.
Some of you have been to many classes where we've used this, and it was in 1942 when going through the archives, the papers left by Myrtle, and they found this in Charles's handwriting, and here is what it says. We, Charles Fillmore and Myrtle Fillmore, husband and wife, hereby dedicate ourselves, our time, our money, all we have and all we expect to have, to the Spirit of Truth, and through it, to the Society of Silent Unity. At that time, it was a prayer service. In being understood and agreed that the said Spirit of Truth shall render unto us an equivalent for this dedication in peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence. In the presence of the conscious mind of Christ Jesus, this seventh day of December, A.D., 1892, signed by both Charles and Myrtle Fillmore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. A number of lessons we could learn from this, one being the act of deliberate decision, the act of deliberate dedication. And it's very powerful as you feel that as we read the words. And we use that to keep in mind for ourselves as we're moving through times of growth and celebration here. But you may have in your mind the question, what does seats have to do with spirituality? I mean, how often have you thought about seats being sacred? Well, you will before the day is over. I mean, you come here and you're accustomed to hearing about prayer and meditation and healing and prosperity and all kinds of spiritual things like that. So again, why are we bringing something as ordinary as seats into this time of sacredness? Well, in the context of this dedication ritual, I invite you to think with me a bit about the nature of the sacred. What is sacred all about? What is sacredness, holiness all about? Well, something being sacred means that it's set apart, different from other things. It's not like everything else. One of the terms that we use in metaphysics is ordinary, like ordinary time or ordinary experience, as opposed to those things that are more metaphysically oriented. So something being sacred means that we've looked at it and said, we're going to put this over to the side and we're going to look at it differently. We're going to feel about it differently. My belief is there's not enough sacredness in our world. And we can do something about that. We can change that, I do believe. Now, sacredness is not inherently about a location or a building, a place, a time. It's really about consciousness. Now, if you read the Old Testament, as I often encourage you to do, you're going to find that Adam was one, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. All of these people knew about sacredness. Because after they had had a significant experience with spirit of one kind or another, they would build an altar and call this place sacred. Now, was the place itself sacred? Were those rocks lying around that were used to build that altar sacred beforehand? Not really. Well, that's not exactly true, but to talk more about that, we'd have to get into quantum energy, and that's coming later, another time, not today. So for all practical purposes, let us say that that spot where that altar was built and the rocks that were used to build that altar were not sacred in the moment. But when those people experienced something wonderful with spirit, they put that altar up, that mound of rocks up to mark that place, and they called it sacred. They made it sacred with consciousness. So true sacredness lies within our consciousness. Now, in the late 1950s, Reverend Francis Jarrell had started a church up in Delray Beach, which is the Unity Church in Delray Beach. And then she came down here and was going to start a Unity Church in Pompano Beach. So as she was driving around in Pompano, I don't think she was looking for a spot of ground that was sacred. How would she know anyway? You know, would it light up or something? What she was doing was looking for a plot of ground to make sacred. And as things went along about organizing and forming the church and growing the church, and that build, the fellowship hall, what is our fellowship hall, was the first building that was built. That was the sanctuary at the time. I don't really think Reverend Jarrell said to the builders, now go down to Home Depot and get the sacred 2x4s. And get the sacred bricks and mortar. Get the sacred shingles. They built that building out of ordinary stuff. And then what happened? They declared it sacred. An act of consciousness. They dedicated it and made it sacred. So holiness, sacredness is not inherent necessarily in anything until we see it that way. That is our power. That is our ability to make something sacred and holy by an act of our consciousness. And that's what we've done today with these seats. As you ask maybe again, you know, why do we have seats involved in this experience of sacredness? So one of the things we're doing is honoring the sacredness of this building as it has been dedicated. To support the ongoing beauty of this place, to support the comfort of this place, to support the functionality of this place, all of those ways of honoring the sacredness of this place. We don't come in here and trash it. I mean, it's one reason we got the new seats. The old ones had served their purpose. They were getting ragged and faded and everything else. And that didn't really support the dignity of the sacredness of this place. So we started the program to get the new seats. And you participated so wonderfully. And we're so excited that they were completely paid for. We were prepared to find the money in the budget somewhere to finish them up. And lo and behold, you finished them up. Every seat was paid for by you. And that's an honoring of the sacredness of this place. And when we take care of it, and I'll have to give a shout out to Peggy Smith. She and her community service people. And though I don't think Peggy would use that language, she's honoring the sacredness of this place by keeping it spotless. And that's important. You would not go in somewhere you think is sacred and deface it. You wouldn't go into the, I'm trying to think of somewhere that's not politically charged. Okay, the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem. Would you say that's a sacred place? Some people believe it is. If you're an atheist, it probably is not sacred to you. So the sacred is not inherent in the stones, in the rocks, in that building. It's present in the consciousness of those who look at it. And maintaining that dignity is important to them. You wouldn't walk into the Dome of Rock as a tourist and throw down a candy wrapper. You get in big trouble to do that. You wouldn't go into some very special place and deface it in some way. Because that which is sacred is to be respected. Now, I'm not going to get off on this tangent, although I would like to, but I sound like one of the old guys about, you know, back in my younger days and that sort of thing. But when I was a kid, we had a sense of a lot of things were sacred. You said yes, ma'am, and yes, sir. You said please, and you said thank you. And although I don't think it's a big deal necessarily, but when I was a kid, you walked in the house, you got a cap or a hat on, you took it off. and come in church with it, that would never happen. And, you know, we do that now, but it's not that big a deal. Just beyond the showing of the change in the way we look at things. But I think we miss some bigger things in our lives by not having this sense of sacredness closer in our consciousness. Because there are a lot of things in our lives that we take for granted that would make a difference if we'd see those things as sacred. Do you have a sacred space besides church? Think about that. All you have to do to have a sacred space is say, this space is sacred, and hold that in consciousness, and you have just done that. That act of saying, this space, for instance, in your home, this is kind of a running joke with me and Bev about all the stuff I left in Memphis when I moved here. One thing was my mother's Avon bottle collection. I lived in this long ranch home with a big stone fireplace, and in the dining room there was a shelf all the way around the wall, and I took out all of my mother's Avon collection and put it on that shelf in the dining room. And the first time Bev came to Memphis, she looked around and she just didn't say a thing about it. And I didn't bring those bottles with me to Florida. But the other thing was my big recliner. I had this great big overstuffed burgundy recliner that where I did my meditations, and it was in my office. And when I sat in that recliner and put my headphones on, I was gone right then and there, because I did nothing else in that spot but meditate. I didn't think about anything else. I didn't sleep. I didn't watch TV. I didn't do anything but meditate in that place. That was my sacred space. It was sacred because I said so, because I declared it to be. And in consciousness, I held it in that way. You can do that same thing. When I looked at that chair and said, in that spot, and said, this is sacred, it's just exactly what happened when God said, let there be light. The creative power that flowed forth is the same as when God made creation. And you can do that yourself. If you don't have a sacred place, make yourself one. It may be out in the woods somewhere. I had some places in Colorado up on some rocks that were my sacred places because I said so. It didn't belong to me, but I own them. Find yourself a place that is yours, a place where you can be still, a place where you can be quiet, and say, this is a sacred spot. Or say, this is a sacred time. I've known people who had a certain time that they had a prayer time, and outside of the house burning down, you didn't talk to them during that time. You didn't call. You knew that they weren't available during that time because it was the sacred time. You can do that for yourself, and I encourage you to do that. As you've seen it in operation here, as you heard Charles and Myrtle Fillmore making that dedication of themselves and their time, you can do that as well. And I encourage you to do that. So today we've included these seats in this time of sacredness. And we honor the sacredness of this place again by keeping it beautiful and keeping it comfortable and keep it usable for you. A place where you can come and feel at home. And it makes a difference. Back before we were shut down, I'd often stand back at the back and watch people coming in that back door. And most new people seem to come in the front door, I guess, that one up there. And the look on their faces sometimes, you could tell they felt something the minute they walked in here because it's a different place. And I've had people just say, wow, I can feel that energy because it's sacred, because it's been set apart, because it is holy. And we can do that. We have the power to do that. So I encourage you to make that for yourself. Make a sacred space for yourself and call it that and recognize it as such. Now that's the first thing we're doing today, is bringing in and blessing these chairs, these seats, as part of this sacred space. But another thing that happened today was an honoring, not only honoring of this place, but honoring the relationships that you've had. Many of you chose to purchase a seat in honor of or in memory of someone that you love. That's sacred as well. Relationships are sacred as well. Have you thought about that? Sacred means it's set apart. Do you have some people in your life that are special and some that are ordinary? That doesn't take anything away from the value of that person. It's just your relationship is not that deep with them. If you don't have those sacred relationships, give some thought to declaring a relationship sacred. This connection I have with this person, I declare as sacred. It is holy. It is set apart. And I will honor that relationship by being true to that relationship, by being honest in that relationship, by appreciating that relationship. And some of you did that with the donation, with the dedication of these seats. I'm saying this, and that, and this is what you did when you did that. You said, this relationship, this person is sacred to me. This relationship, this person is holy to me, whether it's a memory or a current situation. And by taking that act, you honored that sacredness. That's significant. Allow yourself to feel the power of that. Allow yourself to feel the significance of that. You did that. This is sacred. That's an incredible power that you have within you to do that. So as we've experienced this today, the dedication of these seats, the honoring of the sacredness of this place, the honoring the sacredness of your relationship to those people you remembered and the people who are here, carry that into this coming week. And just like the song that the band did a moment ago about everything is holy, all you have to do is look around. The song says one of the challenges is not finding a miracle, but finding where a miracle is not, if your eyes are open. So I challenge you to find a place that is your sacred place. Find a time that is your sacred time. And recognize those individuals in your life who are valuable to you, who are important to you, and designate them as sacred, as holy. See what happens within you and with them. And remember, this is about consciousness. And you have complete control over your consciousness, and no one else has any control over your consciousness. It is yours. It is that creative power of spirit present in you, the Christ consciousness in you. And I challenge you to use it and make it real and make it powerful in your life. I want to close with a passage of scripture that you've heard, I'm sure, from Psalm 118:24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the place that we've declared sacred. This is the day that we have declared sacred. This is the time that we have declared sacred. This is the community that we have declared sacred. Let us rejoice and be glad.
You know, as we come to this part of the service where we take an offering, and those of you who are here today, there's a plate at the back. There are also giving envelopes if you're on record with us for your charitable giving. But I just have to say that when it comes to sacred relationships, Lawrence and I feel that here with each and every one of you. Definitely with our band and soloists and those who serve, but each and every one of you who comes in here taking a sacred seat, we just feel that connection with you. And whether we remember your name or your face, each time you're here, we get that sense of sacredness. So I know many of you who are watching from home, we thank you for that. We invite you to join in this sacred community. And that's what we do by asking for your offerings. It's a way to cement that relationship on your part. And those of you who have served on our teams, and I just mentioned, my goodness, a year and a half, we don't really have teams anymore except for our chaplains who have remained so very committed. And we have our board who has remained very committed. And then we have various ones of you who keep in touch and you do whatever you do around here. We have our wonderful Director of Operations, Darby. We all feel this sacredness. So we ask those of you who are giving and are considering giving, consider giving to the sacredness of our relationship. I talk about value, you know, to the value you place on spiritual community. And the value you place on unity of Pompano. For indeed, it is what we rely on to continue. But even if it weren't for your giving, we know that as we do the good thing that Charles and Myrtle have said, dedicating it to the spirit of truth, that we are going to be receiving the equivalent of our dedication. in terms of peace of mind, health of body, wisdom, understanding, love, life, and an abundant supply of all things necessary to meet every want without our making any of these things the object of our existence. And as we go forward leading Unity of Pompano, Lawrence and I and the board and those who will be our team leaders, we keep this in mind so that we don't get too focused on where's the money going to come from, where's the manpower going to come from. We know that our needs are met as we keep ourselves in that highest consciousness. I guess I'm done preaching. Let us think about everything we have given and everything we will give. And in this sacredness of the Spirit of Truth, as told to us by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore more than 100 years ago, let's feel that energy. We feel that blessing of our giving, and we feel the abundant supply of all things that always comes back to us. And so it is. Amen.